Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we welcome all the devotees for the first of the series of lectures on Hanumanji. So as we have discussed on the day of Ram Navami, we discussed from the Kishkindha Kand, Aranya Kand, and then about to begin the Kishkindha Kand. So we will begin from the stage where Sita has been kidnapped by Ravana. Lord Ramachandra has met the monkeys along with Sugriva, created a bond of friendship, and along with all of these associates, he begins the process of search for Mother Sita. So at this stage, Sugriva gives order to all of his monkey soldiers to go in different directions to find Mother Sita. So a group of monkeys led by Jambavan and Hanuman, they come to the shore of the ocean. And we will begin from this stage, where the monkeys reach the shore and they look out in all directions and are confused. So Angada, he turns to all the other monkeys and says that if we have to find Mother Sita, we have to cross this ocean, because the huge vulture, Sampat, he gave the direction that Mother Sita has been taken across the ocean on the other side. So Angada starts asking different monkeys, how much can you jump? How many yojanas each one of you can jump? So one vanara says, I can jump 5 yojans. Someone says 10 yojan. Someone says 20 yojana. Someone says 30, 40, 50. Finally, Mahindra says, I can jump 60 yojanas. Vibhina says, I can jump 70 yojanas. Someone says, I can jump 80 yojanas. Jambavan says, I am very old now, and therefore I can only jump 90 yojanas. Previously, I could jump and circumambulate the entire planet Earth 21 times, when Lord appeared as Trivikrama and extended his feet in all directions. But now I am old. And therefore there was practically no one who could jump the 100 yojanas distance. At that time, Jambavan turned to Angad and said, how much can you jump? And Angad said, I can jump 100 yojanas, but only one way. I will not have the strength to return back and jump back. And therefore, I am not capable of making this journey. So Jambavan, he looked at Angad and said, since you are the leader of the forces, it is not proper for you to go across the ocean. And I know who is perfectly capable of doing this. And he turned towards Hanumanji and said, this task can only be performed by our Hanumanji here. And then Jambavan goes on to describe the history of Hanumanji, the birth and his early childhood activities. And this we will discuss in detail on Sunday morning, since that is the appropriate occasion of Hanuman Jayanti. He just gives a brief description of Hanumanji's birth and mentions that because of his excessive power and the kind of antics he was performing with the sages declared that till an appropriate time when Hanumanji can use his power constructively, he will forget his powers. And therefore, having all of these powers, he was not aware of this all these years. But now is the time that Hanumanji can use his powers in Lord Ram's service. And therefore, Hanumanji is perfectly capable of jumping across this ocean of 100 yojanas and finding Sita Devi. When Hanumanji hears this, he becomes extremely encouraged. And he starts shouting at the top of his voice. He remembers all of his powers and he becomes ecstatic. And he says, yes, I can jump across this ocean. In fact, I can circumambulate this entire planet several times. I can circumambulate Mount Meru 1000 times. With my arms, I can churn this whole ocean and create flooding over the whole earth. Hanumanji is so possessed with joy, he is eager to cross, and all the other monkeys become very pleased, very happy. But they warn Hanumanji, this is a very, very difficult task. So till you return back, we will wait for you eagerly. Hanumanji looks at the Mount Mahendra and says, this Mount Mahendra seems to be an appropriate launching pad for me. And he immediately, within moments, goes to the foothills of this Mount Mahendra. He offers obeisances to Surya, Vayu and Brahmaji, and then moments climbs on top of the peak of this Mount Mahendra and starts expanding in size. He becomes huge, gigantic. At this stage, from under the Mount Mahendra, all the different animals start fleeing in all directions, seeing Hanumanji's size. There were great rishis performing austerities and tapasya. They get bewildered and run away. And Hanumanji, with his two hands and two legs placed firmly upon Mount Mahendra, he crouches and starts flexing his muscles and takes a deep breath, ready to spring, ready to jump across the ocean. He pauses for a moment, and within the deep core of his heart, thinks of his Supreme Lord, Sri Ramachandra. And then, just like an arrow being shot from the bow of Lord Ram, he springs up in the air. Simply by the power and the pressure of his jump, volcanoes start erupting. And under the influence of his jump, huge trees, which were on top of Mount Mahendra, they get uplifted. And then, as Hanumanji is soaring across the skies, he appears to be like a beautiful moon passing through the clouds. His father, Vayudev, makes all kinds of arrangements so that the environment is cooling, refreshing, and the influence of the sun does not harm him. So Hanumanji is crossing this ocean, which is of 100 yojan. Hanumanji has embarked on a mission on behalf of Lord Ram to find Sita. And this is Hanumanji's mission. So similarly, all of us are also on a mission on behalf of Lord Ram to find bhakti within the core of our heart. And therefore, this process of devotional service is also a very long journey. Hanumanji had to cross 100 yojans of this ocean before he could find Sita Devi. Similarly, in our spiritual journey also, we will not find success so easily. So Hanumanji in his journey met various obstacles. And these obstacles are very significant, because from these obstacles we can learn how we can face problems, situations in our life. A sadhaka basically deals with his sadhana. In Krishna consciousness movement, what are the factors we are dealing with? Our sadhana, our service, our relationships with other devotees and dealings with devotees, and preaching. And we will see now in Hanumanji's journey how he faced obstacles related to each one of these areas, how he dealt with them, and what lessons we can learn in our own Krishna conscious endeavor in dealing with these obstacles, overpowering these obstacles. So as Hanumanji was rushing at full speed, there was a great powerful golden mountain whose name was Mainak. And this Mainak was under the ocean, and he had a relationship with Hanumanji's father, Vayu. So Mainak suddenly sprung up right in front of Hanumanji. He desired to offer his services to Hanumanji, offer Hanumanji a place to rest. As Hanumanji was going at full speed, suddenly he was surprised to find a golden mountain come right in front of him. And Mainak, with his hands folded, offered to Hanumanji, "My dear Hanumanji, please allow me to serve your father Vayu. I am extremely grateful to him. In the previous day and age, when all the mountains had wings, Indra was cutting off the wings of all of these mountains with his thunderbolt. At that time, Vayudev very mercifully pushed me inside the ocean and protected me from the attack of Indra. And therefore I am extremely grateful to your father Vayu, and since you are his son and you are on this mission, I want to serve you. You must be tired. Please take rest upon me." Hanumanji, with his lotus hands, just touched Mainak, placed it upon his head, and then he continued. He did not stop. He told Mainak, "I am on a mission. I am on a mission on behalf of Lord Ramachandra to find Sita. And I cannot rest till I find Sita Devi. Therefore, please, thank you very much for your offer, but I cannot accept it at this stage." So the Acharyas explain that on a path of Krishna consciousness also, we spend our energy, our time progressing. And as we practice Krishna consciousness, in due course of time, we get opportunities where we can rest, where we can relax. We may become complacent. Because we are serving Krishna, Krishna also reciprocates by sending ways and means by which it is very alluring for us to relax our efforts in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, this is one of the major challenges which a devotee faces in his Krishna consciousness. Complacency in his sadhana. When we start chanting, we are very enthusiastic. When we begin the process of bhakti, we are very enthusiastic in hearing, in reading Bhagavad Gita and reading Bhagavatam, in chanting holy names. But then, since the goal is very far, and since it takes very long time before we can experience real taste in bhakti, there are chances that we may become relaxed. And the chance for relaxation comes in form of various offers, various opportunities by which we can take things easy. And this is complacency. And this is a very, very powerful obstacle. And Srila Prabhupada explains that especially when a person is practicing bhakti and he goes through some calamity, at that time his faith dwindles further and he becomes even more complacent in his practice of Krishna consciousness. Like someone asked Srila Prabhupada, that what is the meaning of chanting these 16 rounds? And Prabhupada said, chanting 16 rounds means that after chanting 16 rounds, you should think, why only 16 rounds? Why not 160 rounds? Why not 1600 rounds? So when you think like that, then you should know that your chanting is really having effect. But are we at that stage? No. Right now we are thinking, why 16 rounds? Why not something less? So it is very difficult, and especially it is a fact that as far as any other service is concerned, one can become expert. Whether it is giving lecture, distributing books, cooking, collection, or painting, or dressing, worshipping deity, any service in Krishna consciousness, you keep doing it, and you become expert. You can do it with eyes closed. But there is only one service which Krishna keeps with himself, and that is chanting. And no one can ever claim, I have become expert in chanting. I have become expert in my japa. And you think like that, and next moment, you go off like that. Because Krishna reveals the power and sweetness of His holy name only with great difficulty. And therefore, a devotee has to struggle tirelessly till he comes to that stage. As someone said, that life is a mission, not intermission. That we have a mission to achieve. And it's not an interval. You know, in film there is intermission, where you relax and take popcorn and this and that and come back. So, life is meant to achieve certain goals and objectives. Until we get that, we cannot relax. As some Indian, you know, not exactly saintly person, but a writer, he wrote once that, you know, mundane life is like onion. Every layer you peel off makes you cry. As you spend time in material life, each and every experience only brings bitterness and creates suffering. So similarly, devotee may also go through this, and then, rather than increasing his sadhana, sometimes one's faith is weakened and one becomes complacent. And one starts thinking, why Krishna is doing this to me? Is Krishna not keeping track of my 16 rounds? Is he not keeping record of my chanting? In spite of doing so much, still this is happening. So the more one closes the door to reality, the reality somehow comes in through the windows. So you cannot avoid the ultimate reality. And whether one is devotee or not, various situations will come up in life. But we should actually take shelter of Krishna more in these situations than becoming complacent. So the result of all of these calamities is one's faith becomes weakened. And then when one's faith is weakened, one loses his enthusiasm, one becomes complacent. And as soon as you become complacent in your chanting, because what happens is when problems come, rather than taking shelter of the holy name, one keeps thinking about the problem. So, parallel processing is taking place. You are chanting Hare Krishna, but your mind is trying to analyze the problem also. So both things are going on simultaneously. So we are not actually taking shelter of the holy name, but rather we spend time worrying. As they say, worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps moving but takes you nowhere. You know, so there is no point. Just like I was reading an article, kind of a joke, that someone advertised that there is a post for the head worrier. The boss called one of his employees and said, I am making you the head worrier in this company. And he was bewildered. He said, what kind of a new post is this? He said, your job description is, you have to take all my worries and worry on my behalf. And I'll pay you £2,000 for this. He said, oh, offer seems good. So when do I get my first pay? He said, that is your first worry. So many people think that if only I could just transfer all my worries to someone. But the world is such that you have to have your quota of worries. And you can't avoid it. Whether you are a devotee or not a devotee. Therefore, one has to take shelter of the holy name and not just spend time thinking about why this happened, what happened, and so many other things. And this complacency will result in our old conditionings coming up. As soon as we become complacent, all the old habits, old conditionings will just come up and trouble us. And this creates one of the biggest traumatic situations in our Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, he explains the need to chant Hare Krishna very attentively year after year. And if you hear Prabhupada's japa tape, You will always hear, you know, one statement Prabhupada makes in the middle of the japa. What is that? Sit properly. Sit properly. And Prabhupada is chastising someone. And recently on the WinCom, there was, on the Krishna Katha conference, there was discussion. So many people were claiming that it was me who Prabhupada was saying, sit properly. Like someone said, it is me. And said, hey, come on, it was not, it was me. Prabhupada was telling me, sit properly. So therefore, the posture, the pronunciation, the pace with which, these are the three P's of good japa. Good posture, good pace, and proper pronunciation is very important for the japa to have proper effect, along with a good attitude. And therefore, all the other aspects of one's life play an important role. And someone asked Srila Prabhupada, I sleep too much. And Prabhupada said, if you sleep too much, you'll become lazy. But if you sleep too little, you'll become crazy. So you have to sleep the right amount. You have to have yukta, ahara, vihara. So all these elements must be balanced properly. So therefore, old conditionings come up. And when old conditionings come up and torment us and trouble us, our faith weakens further. And sometimes we even lose faith in the basic process of Krishna consciousness and start looking for alternative things. Start looking for alternative solutions apart from bhakti. And then what happens is we lose our complete connection with the process. So it all begins with little complacency. But then gradually it leads us to a stage where we are not even inspired to practice bhakti. Like there was one devotee who became too much involved with yoga. And then he became so much of a yogi that he actually forgot about this chanting of Hare Krishna. And he was trying to influence other devotees also. And how yoga is the ultimate. And he was into natural healing, natural treatment, and he started making all kinds of rasayan and herbs. You would put it on the head and said, this is the way to cool the head and keep you peaceful. So he was sitting in a car with Srila Prabhupada, some other devotee was in front, and they were moving, they were going to some place. And he was telling Prabhupada that for your Srila Prabhupada, all your problems is because you are not taking this rasayan, you are not taking that rasayan, your liver problem can be cured with this rasayan. And so many rasayan he was talking about. And suddenly, in the middle of the journey, the driver turned back and told Prabhupada, I am not able to apply the brake. The brake is not working. And this yogi got bewildered. And Prabhupada turned to him and said, now which rasayan you will use? Prabhupada was calm. He was just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the vehicle went ahead. And then again the driver turned back and said, okay, something is happening. Nothing to worry about. And Prabhupada turned to him and said, just chant Hare Krishna. In all situations, this is the only rasayan which will work. Otherwise, we may go into so many other things, but nothing can protect us from death. So, we have a long way to go and we may get distracted on the path by so many other offers, facilities and chances for relaxation. But Hanumanji is showing by his example that we have to overcome complacency with tireless enthusiasm to chant Hare Krishna and hear in the association of devotees no matter what. Good example is Jananivas Prabhu in Mayapur. He doesn't understand Bengali. But when there is Bengali Bhagavatam class, he sits. And someone asks, why do you sit for Bengali class? He said, because the sound vibration is non-different from Krishna and that is purifying. And therefore, I just give attentive hearing so that ultimately I get purified. So this is the first principle that the biggest challenge as far as our sadhana is concerned is complacency, and we can overcome it with enthusiasm. by saying no to the mind when the mind makes so many suggestions. The nature of the mind is always to bewilder us and postpone our Krishna consciousness. And it begins with 3:30 in the morning alarm. As soon as the alarm blows, the mind says, relax. You know, no need now. Don't do so much austerity. Some tapasya is okay, but not so much. And then from that time onwards till late at night, the mind is working 24 hours, giving us suggestions. So this Mainak mountain represents the offer or the opportunity to take things easy and become complacent in our Krishna consciousness. Hanumanji goes further, and all the demigods, they approach the mother of the serpents. Her name is Surasa, and request Surasa, we want you to test the power of Hanumanji. Either Hanumanji will pass the test or he will fail. We want to see his progress. Can you arrange for this? So Surasa agrees. And immediately she comes up right in front of Hanumanji with her mouth wide open. She takes the form of a terrible Rakshasi and cries out to Hanuman, I have received a benediction from Brahmaji that no one can pass across unless they enter into my mouth. I have been given the benediction to eat anyone and everyone. So you cannot pass by me, you have to enter into my mouth. Hanumanji said, my dear mother, I am on a mission to find Sita Devi on behalf of Ram. I will go to Lanka, find Sita Devi, hand her back to Lord Ramachandra, and then come back and fulfill your desire. Please allow me to go. And Surasa said, no, this is a benediction I have received. You cannot go. I have to challenge you, otherwise you'll be killed. So Surasa had her mouth wide open, 10 yojanas wide. So Hanumanji also increased his size and became 20 yojanas. So Surasa also increased her size. She became 30 yojanas. Hanumanji became 40 yojana. She became 50 yojana. And in this way, both were increasing their sizes. And finally, Surasa became 100 yojanas. And Hanumanji immediately decreased his size, became very tiny, entered into her mouth and came out. And with folded hands said, the benediction was, I must enter your mouth. I have entered and come out. So now allow me to go. And Surasa was very happy. He said, you are a very clever monkey. And therefore I give you the blessings that you will be successful in your mission. So the Surasa represents a very important principle. So first aspect of our Krishna consciousness is our sadhana. Second aspect of our bhakti is our service. Devotional service, seva. But what is the attitude with which we should do our seva and service is very important. And that is demonstrated here. So we have a tendency that in Kali Yuga, whatever we do, we land up ending in conflicts. And there is always a tendency to be competitive. And this springs from the tendency of false pride that I am better than you. Therefore, one of the most powerful challenges is to overcome the influence of this false pride. So Surasa had her mouth open, her size 10 yojan. Then Hanumanji increased his size further. And then she increased her size further. So in this way, each one was trying to show who is better. And this was a competition going on. Just like in Brahmanda Purana, there is a story that there was this Brahman who was very pakka in doing all of his mantras and chanting his Gayatri on time. So one day he got delayed. It was 12 o'clock and he was sleeping. Kali personified appeared and woke him up and said, hey, time for your Gayatri. So he immediately got up, washed himself, did his Gayatri and looked towards this person who had woken him up and said, oh, thank you so much. You woke me up, otherwise I would not have done my Gayatri. Who are you? And he said, I am Kali personified. And the Brahman got bewildered. Kali personified? You are helping me do my religious duties? Are you the same Kali or you have changed? How is it that you woke me up? And Kali personified said, if you had slept and missed your Gayatri, you would have felt extremely humble. You would have felt repentant and humbled. And because of that humility, you would have made great spiritual advancement. Therefore, I did not want you to make spiritual advancement. I wanted you to remain proud. Therefore, I woke you up. So that you do your Gayatri on time and still feel, yes, I am better than everyone else. So this principle of false pride is very powerful. And so, we have to understand that this breeds competition and conflict. As it is described that the power of humility is so great that it conquers the great. And in spiritual circles, the law of gravity which works is that the more one tries to become great, the more one tries to go up, the greater are the chances of fall. And the more one becomes light, the greater are the chances that Krishna will pick him up and uplift him. So therefore, humility comes from this word humus, which means soil. And in the soil of humility only, the seed of bhakti can flourish. And so, we can check to what extent we are experiencing this feeling of false pride or humility by checking in three areas. Am I eager to serve others or am I eager to be served? Am I eager to glorify Krishna or am I eager to glorify myself? Am I thinking of Krishna or am I thinking of myself? And this is like a 3-point check by which you can understand to what extent I am progressing in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, this feeling of pride creates competition and conflict. And as it is said, once the false pride comes, one is already fallen. What happens later is only detail. And therefore, when we first begin the process of bhakti, we are really in a mood of humility. We really feel when we first come, just think of the time when we first came in. Das, das, anu das. But then after some time we start feeling, I am das, anu das. And then I start feeling I am only das. Then we start feeling I am Prabhu. Then we feel I am Mahaprabhu. And then one conflict and all these other problems begin. Therefore, this principle of cooperation is very important. You must have heard the story of the hare and the tortoise. Right, this story came on the internet once. So the hare, the tortoise, they have the race, the hare sleeps off, the tortoise wins. Okay, this version everyone knows. So then the hare was not satisfied. Said, I made a mistake somewhere. Let's have the competition again. And again they have this competition and this time the hare is determined. His mind is telling him, sleep, sleep, sleep. Says, no, I made the mistake before, I won't do this mistake again. So the hare continues running, reaches the end spot, wins the race. So the hare wins second time and the tortoise is defeated. Now tortoise starts thinking, if the race continues in the same pattern, I am never going to win. It's impossible. So he approaches the hare again and says, let's have the race again, but this time I will decide the route. Okay? Said, okay, fine. So the tortoise decides the route. So according to the route, the tortoise gives, the hare runs, goes much further ahead, and he goes through various lanes, and then according to the route, he comes to the bank of a river. And the route was that you had to cross the river and go to the other side. Hare can run fast on land, but in water he just stopped. Tortoise came peacefully, slowly, came to the river, looked at the hare, waved at him, went straight across the river, crossed, and won the race. So now this, by this time they had to have competition so many times, they had become good friends. So they decided, okay, forget this competing. Let's cooperate. Let's work together. So the hare and the tortoise came together. So the hare told the tortoise, as long as we are on the land, you sit on my back. So the tortoise sat on the hare's back on land. They came to the water, the hare sat on tortoise's back in water. Reached the other side, again they switched roles, and this way they reached the destination fastest. And they enjoyed the whole experience, because they were not competing against each other, but they were competing against the situation, the challenges which were confronting them. So similarly, when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, sometimes rather than facing the situation, a common opposition, we start competing with each other. And that creates all the problem. And so, Prabhupada says, one devotee came and said, Srila Prabhupada, I cannot get along with this devotee. I have difference of opinion with him. Prabhupada said, good. Difference of opinion means there is individuality. And that means Mayavad is bogus. So if you have difference of opinion, it is a testimony against Mayavad. No problem. So we are all individuals and we will have our opinions, and there will always be chances for conflict. But someone came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, do you like this service the best? Do you like this service the best? Do you like that service the best? And Prabhupada said, the service I like the best is you love Krishna. And that is the service for all of us. To do that, we may have different ways and approaches. So therefore, we should concentrate on that more. And many times, we will have differences of opinion and there may be disagreements. But Krishna consciousness is not a black and white process. There are shades. And therefore, one is right does not mean that the other is wrong, as in mathematics or in logic. One is right doesn't mean another is wrong. So there could be various approaches. Just like Prabhupada was in Kumbh Mela, and Yamuna Mataji was discussing about Krishna and Balram, and she was saying that, Bhavanandu was saying that, I heard from Srila Prabhupada, the difference between Krishna and Balram is, Krishna is black and Balramji is white like the autumn cloud. So Yamuna Mataji says, no, that is not the difference. The main difference between Krishna and Balram is Krishna only enjoys with Radharani, not Balram. So there were two approaches and they were arguing. And some devotees went on this side, some devotees went on this side. And the conflict was increasing and they came to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, so, what is the problem? So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, so, he said, Prabhupada, Bhavananda Prabhu is saying, this is the difference between Krishna and Balram. Krishna is black, Balram is white, that is the difference. Prabhupada said, he is right. But then this Mataji is saying that the difference is only Krishna enjoys with Radharani. Prabhupada said, she is right. So he got bewildered. But Prabhupada, both are saying two different things. How can both be right? And Prabhupada said, you are right. Prabhupada, what exactly is the solution? Prabhupada said, you work it out. And he said, do not think that everything in Krishna consciousness you can understand with logic and reason and hold it within your grip. So many times, one may have his certain opinion or angle, but ultimately one has to go ahead with one's service, whether one understands all the different aspects or not. And therefore, cooperation is very, very important. So humble cooperation as against conflict and competition. And therefore Hanumanji, as he saw that there is no end to this, and Surasa became 100 yojanas tall, Hanumanji decided, I am just wasting my time. This is not my mission. I didn't jump from Mount Mahendra to be caught in this. I didn't come to Krishna consciousness movement to do this. 10 yojan, 20 yojan, 30 yojan, 40 yojan. This is not my journey. My journey is not like this. My journey is like this. And therefore, Hanumanji immediately became very small. Took the humble position. And because he took that humble position, immediately the conflict was resolved. Therefore, in such cases, one has to take the humble position. And as with Prabhupada, other religions have given us the process how we can become free from sin. But Srila Prabhupada has given us the process how we can become free from the root of all sin, that is false pride. And hence, we should understand and appreciate the need to cooperate. And only then we can progress in Krishna consciousness individually and collectively. And there is famous example of Rupa Goswami chastising Jiva Goswami when even for bona fide reasons Jiva Goswami had a fight and a tiff with Rupa Narayan, that scholar, and argued with him. And there was a kind of competition. And Rupa Goswami said, why didn't you just sign? I already signed saying that he is better. I've already accepted him as Digvijay. So you are indulging in a kind of mentality which is not fit for Vrindavan. And it seems you are infected with pride, so you should leave Vrindavan. So he banished him and he spent time in the crocodile hole. And ultimately, Rupa Goswami was pleased on the plea of Sanatana Goswami and accepted him back. Also, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when dealing with Prakashananda Saraswati, he melted Prakashananda Saraswati's heart, not with scholarship, but by demonstrating humility. And he took a humble position, sat at the place where they would wash the feet. Lord Chaitanya had a childhood friend, and both were going in the middle of the river in a boat. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was Nimaya Pandit, he just took out a book, saying, I have brought out a book on logic and grammar. And his friend became very morose, saying, oh, I have also brought out a similar book. But now that Nimai Pandit, you have written a book, who will read my book? And as soon as Nimai Pandit heard this, he took his own book and threw it in the Ganges. And said, forget about my book. My book does not exist. And in this way, he was demonstrating that one has to cooperate and take the humble position in the association of devotees, and then things can progress. Otherwise, so much of time and energy will be spent in resolving conflicts. So here, the second obstacle is Surasa. Hanumanji goes further ahead. And then suddenly, from under the ocean, a powerful demoness, her name is Simhika, she just grabs on to Hanumanji's shadow. And Hanumanji was projecting a shadow of 80 miles by 120 miles. And she just caught on to this shadow. And Hanumanji could not move. And using mystic power, she was trying to drag Hanumanji down by latching on to his shadow. Hanumanji just went straight inside her mouth, became very tiny, went straight to her heart and pierced her heart to pieces. Killed her. This is the nature of envy. And the third aspect of our Krishna consciousness is dealings and relationships. So are our dealings critical, envious, or our dealings are appreciative? Are we appreciative of other devotees or critical and envious of other devotees? That will determine the quality of our dealings and relationships. What is the nature of envy? You see something dark, something bad, and then pull down a person. So Simhika was catching on to this dark shadow and trying to pull Hanumanji down. And that is the nature of envy. You do not see millions of good qualities. We just see one bad quality and then try to bring that person down. As soon as we get that some negative quality, we become ecstatic. Yes, I always knew that he had some problem. Now it is revealed. Get him. And this is the quality of envy. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that the original desire is, why can't I be God? And the original envy is, why Krishna is God? And from there, all the other envy comes up. Therefore, Mayavad philosophy is the ultimate expression of envy. That one tries to establish himself to be God and God to be ordinary person. Srila Prabhupada was in Jagannath Puri. There was one Mayavadi who had written a book, but he wanted Prabhupada to release the book. Prabhupada came to that program thinking it's a good platform to preach Krishna consciousness. But he saw the book and he understood this is Mayavadi. And Prabhupada was speaking his philosophy, and this gentleman who had written the book, he got up and sent a note to Prabhupada, Swamiji, speak about my book. Prabhupada continued speaking his own thing. Again he sent another note. Prabhupada didn't care. Then finally this man got impatient. He just got up and said, now Swamiji will tell all of you about my book. And Prabhupada said, this book is bogus. This book is blaspheming God. This person is envious of the form of the Lord. He is a Mayavadi. Do not read this book. This man got bewildered because he had organized a big program for release of his book. And Prabhupada said, I cannot compromise. Anyone who blasphemes the form of the Lord is envious. So that envy, that expression of envy towards Krishna manifests in our own dealings. And then we find that in dealings with other devotees. So this is envy which comes as part of the baggage in the material world. And Simhika was destroyed by Hanumanji because there is no place for envy in spiritual life. There is no other way, but we have to struggle and strive and destroy this envy within the heart. And Prabhupada would tell about these Mayavadis. These Mayavadis call themselves Vedantists. They are not Vedantists, they are Vedantists. That means we Vaishnava philosophers, with our philosophy, have destroyed their teeth. We have knocked out their teeth, Vedant. So their teeth have been knocked out. That's why they are Vedantist, Prabhupada would say. So Prabhupada was at Los Angeles airport and one reporter was asking him that, so Swamiji, there are so many sadhus who are now claiming to be gods nowadays. What do you think about them? They are now coming in USA. Are you any different from them? What do you think about them? Prabhupada said one word, they are all nonsense. And the reporter was bewildered because he wanted to know in detail. He didn't leave Prabhupada. He said, Swamiji, would you like to say something more about them? Prabhupada said, yes, one more thing. They are all rascals also. They are all claiming to be God. They are envious of God. So therefore, this envy is detrimental to progress in Krishna consciousness. Envy means, I want to be enjoyer. Why Krishna is God? And that expression is also there in our practice in various subtle ways. So any good quality we see in others is only an expression of Krishna's quality. And when we are envious, we are indirectly being envious of Krishna. And then what happens is, we have certain qualities, certain limitations. We see others' qualities and we feel, why I don't have those qualities? So rather than be satisfied with what we have, we hanker for what others have. And then we become envious. Just like I have this story of a boy who had lost his hand, left hand, in an accident in childhood. But he had a desire to learn judo. He went to a teacher. The teacher taught him one step continuously for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. And this boy was bewildered that teacher is not teaching me any other step, only this one step. And then the teacher, the judo teacher, enrolled this boy in an international competition. And this boy went through all the rounds, defeating all opposition, and came up to the final. People were a bit bewildered. They didn't know how to fight with someone with one hand. And nobody thought he would survive. But in the final also he created a major sensation, won the gold medal. And this boy himself was bewildered. He turned to his teacher and said, "How did I win? How did I get this gold medal? Even I don't know." And the teacher said, "The step which I have taught you is one of the most lethal steps in judo. And you have perfected it because of continuously practicing it. And there is only one possible defense against this step. And for that, the opponent has to catch your left hand. And you don't have one." Right? Therefore, all your opponents, they try to defend and they are bewildered. Nothing is there. Left hand is not there. So what you may think as a weakness has turned out to be our greatest strength. So rather than lamenting and thinking, "Oh, I don't have a hand, I don't have this, I don't have this," whatever is possible within the circumstance, maximize and use it in Krishna's service. Rather than looking here and there and seeing what Krishna has given to others. So most of the time when we come in front of Krishna, we have complaints list. "Krishna, you didn't give me this. You didn't give me that. And more importantly, you gave him or her that, not me." So therefore, we have to understand that we have to appreciate what we have received and appreciate other devotees also for the same and not feel critical. So therefore, this critical mentality and envious mentality can be counteracted by a feeling of appreciation. So rather than criticizing, let us begin appreciating. Nobody is free from fault. But let us start appreciating others for what they are doing in Krishna consciousness. So when we become free from the burden of expecting appreciation and concentrate on appreciating others, we experience a deep sense of relief and satisfaction. Like Shyam Sundar Prabhu explains, when he came to Prabhupada, he was so happy, but then suddenly he had to go to jail because of some previous offense. So he came to Prabhupada feeling very fearful what Prabhupada will say. That now I'm a devotee and I'm tarnishing the name of this movement. So he came to Prabhupada and said, "Srila Prabhupada, I'm very sorry to say, but I have to go to a jail for a few months." Prabhupada said, "No problem. Krishna was born in jail." He felt good. And then he said, and Prabhupada said, "So why are you going to jail?" And he said, "I was dealing with some drugs before, therefore I'm going to jail." Prabhupada said, "I was also dealing with drugs. I had Prayag Pharmacy." "So no problem. You go to jail, keep chanting Hare Krishna, you will come out." And he felt such a sense of relief that I'm not being judged, I'm not being criticized. Prabhupada still appreciates whatever little I am doing. And he felt such an intimate feeling for Srila Prabhupada. So when a devotee even commits some mistake, but we appreciate it or give feedback in the right way, then that creates a different feeling. Like one of the painters, she was giving her experience that she made a painting and by mistake, rather than Radharani's hand being towards Krishna, she made Radharani's hand away from Krishna, which was totally off. And Prabhupada saw this painting and said, "Oh, Radharani has another boyfriend." And she got bewildered and she saw the painting again. And she felt Prabhupada will chastise me. And Prabhupada said, no, actually, Radharani likes your painting so much, she is offering garland to you. Take this garland." So then, when Prabhupada, he would appreciate devotees. So devotees would feel so good. And even in our own case, as someone said, that you flatter me, I may believe you. You criticize me, I may dislike you. You do not talk with me, and you just neglect me, I may not forgive you. But you encourage me, and I'll never forget you. So when we encourage other devotees, appreciate other devotees, inspire other devotees, because ultimately people have come with the intention of serving Srila Prabhupada, serving Krishna. And that intention we should see, rather than getting into the nitty-gritties of he is not like this, he is not like that, they are doing like, they are doing like that, complaining all the time. Someone was complaining to Srila Prabhupada that so and so, you know, here leader here in this temple is not chanting 16 rounds. Prabhupada looked at him sternly and said, did Arjuna chant 16 rounds on battlefield of Kurukshetra? Huh? And his devotee was bewildered. He had never thought of it from this angle. And Prabhupada said, he is doing his service so much, he has his own situation, you concentrate on what you are doing, don't look at him. Of course, Prabhupada didn't mean to say that, you know, we can use this logic. It's not that you take this very positively. No, I never knew. This is a good point. Never thought about it. Thank you for telling me. But Prabhupada was making a point that you are at a certain situation, do your service, because Krishna is looking at you. And Krishna will look at others also. Let him do his job. You do your job. Don't take on the job of Krishna, of being judge of everything and everyone. So rather than that, one should appreciate and encourage. And if we just develop this attitude, 90% of the problems will automatically get resolved. And one of the biggest causes of conflict in married life is each partner feels that I am not encouraged, I am not appreciated. And therefore, in society of devotees, if we learn from the example of Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, how they were encouraging, inspiring devotees, we will experience great change. So this is the third principle of envy. And as I was explaining yesterday, that if you have to dig for gold, you have to dig through tons and tons of dirt and mud, and only then you will come across gold. Someone told Prabhupada, your disciples are like coal. They cannot change. Prabhupada said, you put pressure on coal, the coal will become diamond. So therefore, under the pressure of Krishna consciousness, they will transform and become diamond. So therefore, it takes time before you can find the gold and diamond. So we have to tolerate. And so when you have a mountain at a distance, you can't see it clearly. You take a binocular, you can see it clearly. Similarly, Krishna is far away, we can't see him clearly. But using the lenses, ISKCON is like a binocular. And devotees are like lenses. And the more the devotees, more chances that we can approach Krishna. And Krishna becomes near and approachable. And as you know, this famous pastime, Prabhupada was talking about the Mahajans. And he was telling about the 12 Mahajans. And then someone told Prabhupada, you are the 13th. And Prabhupada told him, you are the 14th. Take this responsibility. And try to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. And show the behavior, exemplary behavior of such souls. Then Hanumanji went ahead and finally reached Lanka. And he came on a crag of the Trikuta mountain on which Lanka is situated. And there Hanumanji looked at the glory and the power of Lanka, Ravana's kingdom. Huge gold walls were surrounding all directions. There was a beautiful moat on all sides with lotus flowers. Big, huge, powerful, ugly Rakshasas were guarding with powerful weapons in their hands. And simply by seeing the power and the glory of Lanka, Hanumanji was thinking, even the greatest demigods cannot enter this place. How can a bunch of monkeys do anything here? And as Hanumanji was thinking, he decreased his size again. And he thought that now I must search through the different lanes and by lanes of Lanka, and let me take the size of a small cat. So Hanumanji became the size of a small cat and he was searching through. And as he came to a certain area, Lankini was the presiding goddess of Lanka, the Rakshasi. She came in front of Hanumanji and told Hanumanji, stop. We cannot allow monkeys to come here. This is a place for Rakshasas only. Hanumanji said, I have come on a mission of Lord Ram. Everything belongs to Lord Ram. And therefore, I will fulfill this mission and only then go back. Lankini said, no, you do not have the permission. I warn you, you must leave immediately, otherwise I will kill you. Hanumanji said, you may do whatever you want. But I have come here on a mission of Lord Ram and I will complete the mission. So Lankini became extremely agitated. She was about to slap Hanumanji. Hanumanji caught hold of her and gave her a punch. And she fell off long distance. She came back and fell at the feet of Hanumanji and said, many years back Lord Brahma had given this forewarning that the day a monkey comes and slaps you, that day is the beginning of the destruction of Ravana and his kingdom. So I think that day has come. So here, Jai Shri Radha Gopala Anandaji, we'll just finish in a few moments. So here, the fourth aspect of our Krishna consciousness is preaching. Hanumanji was on a mission on behalf of Lord Ram. And he came to Lanka, the city of Ravana, the demoniac city. So all of us are also trying to spread the mission of Lord Ram in areas which are just like Lanka, where demoniac influences prevail, where the armies of the Rakshasas are strong. And when we try to preach Krishna consciousness, when we try to go ahead on the mission of Lord Ram, there is opposition. We are stopped by various incarnations of Lankini who stop us and question us, what are you doing here? This is the kingdom of Ravan. What is your business here? And therefore, this puts doubt in our mind. This sometimes dampens our enthusiasm. And so when we are faced with opposition in preaching, we may become sometimes fearful. But we should take the example of Hanumanji. Then when faced with this situation, Hanumanji just became fearless. Because he had full conviction of the protection of Lord Ram. And this is the most important principle of being fearless when faced with opposition and continue preaching. Srila Prabhupada faced so many situations like this. It's the ideal example. And whenever you try to preach, you will always face opposition. People will never like devotees. Those who are demoniac, they can never accept devotees and they will always criticize. Like I tell this story, I was going on a street one time on preaching. And one mother was going with her son, small son. And the son asked the mother, after looking at me, Ma, ye kaun hai? Who is this? And the mother looked at me and looked at the child and said, Beta, ye bhoot hai. This is a ghost. So this is her conception. And she is feeding this to the child. So when the child grows up, can you imagine what he will be thinking? Whenever he sees devotee, he just thinks bhoot. He thinks Hare Krishna, bhoot bangla. He will always think in terms of this because it has been fed him. So when you try to preach, there will be opposition in various ways. And so Srila Prabhupada, he would face various reporters and the reporters would challenge him. He would face university students. He was in MIT and he said, your college name is MIT. Where is Almighty here? Where is knowledge of the Almighty? And after his lecture, one student got up and said, Swamiji, why you are wearing this mud on your face? Why you are wearing this tilak? Prabhupada looked at him and said, why you are wearing your tie? Why you are wearing your tie around your neck? Tell me. And he got bewildered because he had never thought about it. And then for some time he was silent. Prabhupada said, sit down and think about it. And then Prabhupada at the end of his lecture said, question means you should ask some relevant question, not nonsense question like this. about dress and other things. So Prabhupada was forceful, you know, in his preaching. Reporters would ask him certain things. Indian man asked him, "You have left India and come to the West? Swamiji, why you didn't continue preaching in India?" Prabhupada told him, "You are Indian reporter, what you are doing in the West?" He said, "I came for higher prospects." Prabhupada said, "Me too, for higher prospects." Nobody was accepting in India. People were involved in sense gratification. You try to tell Gita to anyone in India, they say, "We already know Gita. Our grandfather knows Gita. Maybe we can teach you some Gita." Each one becomes self-styled guru. So Prabhupada had to come there. So Prabhupada was preaching to all categories of people, and he was totally convinced that this is the only way to preach. Once he asked his devotees, "Who is greater, Mahatma Gandhi or me?" And this was in India. It's a very controversial question. So they didn't know what to say. Prabhupada then replied, "Mahatma Gandhi or me, I am greater." Why? Because Mahatma Gandhi only sent the Westerners away from India. But now I have engaged all of them in my service. And then there was one devotee doing chambar. And Prabhupada said, "Just see, look at him. He is engaged in service. Am I paying him anything? He is not only doing service, he is doing for free." Which businessman in the world can understand this? That we have a whole society of people who are doing for free. So Prabhupada was very, very particular that any opposition would come, he would just be right on. And he would not accept any compromise. Even sometimes parents would come and argue with Prabhupada. Brahmananda Prabhu explains, he joined. His mother was bewildered. She sent her brother, her other son, Gargamuni Prabhu. He came, he also joined. So both sons joined. So the mother came searching for both the sons and met Prabhupada and said, "Swamiji, why you have kept both my sons?" Prabhupada said, "Your two sons were roaming on the streets. I brought them home, fed them, giving them all facilities, giving them shelter. You should give me donation for this." And she got bewildered by his attack. And she said, "But Swamiji, I have already donated my sons." Prabhupada said, "Thank you very much. That's all I wanted." So Prabhupada was not a person to be, bewildered by any kind of pressure. And he said, preaching is the essence. And we have to accept this essence. And there will be opposition. We cannot avoid it. But Krishna has his ways, and if we become part of this preaching mission, we can overcome all opposition. So these are the various obstacles which we can see as Hanumanji experienced. Complacency in sadhana, conflict and competitive attitude in service, relationships which are filled with bad feelings, critical mentality and enviousness, and opposition to our preaching efforts, which dampen our enthusiasm. But we can overcome and counteract all of this with Hanumanji's example of great tireless enthusiasm. We should do our sadhana with tireless enthusiasm. We should cooperate with humility while engaged in service. As far as relationships are concerned, they should be loving and filled with appreciation. And the preaching should be fearless, bold, enthusiastic, without any break. And if we just stick to these principles as demonstrated in this beautiful passage, very soon Srila Prabhupada and all Acharyas will bestow their causeless mercy upon us, and success is guaranteed. And one will definitely find the shelter of bhakti. One will find the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Ram, of Lord Krishna. I'm very grateful to all of you that you came here today, spent the evening, and on Sunday we will continue with the story of the birth and early childhood pastimes of Hanumanji. And also, after Hanumanji deals with Lankini, what he does further in his attempt to find Sita Devi. And we will try to complete the Sundar Kanda, which describes the glories of Hanumanji. That will be Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Jai Shri
Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Jai Gaur Premanand.